Tom, I just want to say how grateful I am for the children of this church and for the parents and for these folks that work hard on Wednesday nights and helping them grow and learn musically how to put on a presentation like this. It's such a blessing to our church and such a blessing to the kids. And it's a blessing to me as a dad as well. So we're grateful and thankful for each of them, thankful for our music ministry. If you have your Bibles, would you open up to Luke chapter 2, Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. I'm going to be honest with you, I like a nice robust pulpit, but today I've got this music stand. However, there's something I like about it is that the countdown clock is missing. And Larry Furman's got he's got his phone there. I taught him how to use that thing. I didn't know it was going to come back and bite me one day. And Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. If you don't have your own copy of God's Word, you can open up to page 1112 in the Pew Bible in front of you. 1112 in the Pew Bible. And if you don't have your own copy to read at home, we'd love for you to keep that, just to have that Bible there. We'd love for you to have your own copy of God's Word. We want you to read it and look at it. So if you have your Bibles open there, why don't you go ahead and stand with me out of reverence for the reading of the words of our God. Luke writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in such a way that as the words on this page are being read, God Himself is speaking to you, beginning in verse 8. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you so much for this glorious gospel that begins with the humblest of beginnings. And Father, we pray that we would learn from these shepherds and from their perspective on what happened on that first Christmas night. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. And it seems like there's a lot of y'all out here today. I think there are. But on top of that, everybody's up close. And when I was in college or in high school, you know, sometimes you'd have a pop quiz. So I want everybody to know, you never know what Sunday a kid might come up on this stage and sing. That way every Sunday you've got to sit up front and be here and be ready, okay? So just be prepared for that. Years ago, a Christmas special was produced, and everyone who saw it thought it was going to be a flop. There was no laugh track. There were long scenes of singing. There were just things that didn't seem to be attractive to the children of the age. And yet, to this very day, it's such an important part of so many people's Christmas tradition to watch a Charlie Brown Christmas. Now, some of y'all that are in here, probably any of y'all seen a Charlie, are there any cows or sheep that have seen a Charlie Brown Christmas before? Okay, there we go. You guys are familiar with a Charlie Brown Christmas. And you know that scene in A Charlie Brown Christmas that is most famous and that sticks with us the most is when Charlie Brown, being Charlie Brown, finally exasperated, asks if there's anyone who can tell him the true meaning of Christmas. For years, we've been moved by Linus's recitation of this very passage that we're looking at here today. In the beautiful old King James language that he uses, regularly there's one part, one verse, as Linus recites it that stands out to me the most. And therefore, as I read this passage, there's one verse that stands out to me the most. That's verse 9. "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." It's amazing to consider what these shepherds beheld that night, what they saw. And yet, of course, the text does not stop there, and nor does Linus's soliloquy about the meaning of Christmas, his quotation of this passage of Luke about the meaning of Christmas. Because the angel goes on to say to them in verse 10, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." And it's at that very moment, right after this angel finishes this sentence, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." You see, while the shepherds were sore afraid, they were nonetheless told not to fear. And they experienced then a stunning vision of the glory of Christ. They see a stunning picture there in the heavens of the magnitude of what's happening there in that manger. What's happening there where the baby is. What did they see? How did they respond? And how should it affect us today? Let's look today at three things that the shepherds saw, what they beheld. The title of this series is Behold. And what we're trying to do is see from the perspective of different folks in these gospel witness accounts of the birth of Christ. What is it we should see? Three things the shepherds saw that ought to impact your Christmas and your life. Three things the shepherds saw that ought to impact our lives. Here's the first thing I hope you can see that the shepherds saw. It's this: see the awe-inducing greatness of God. See the awe-inducing greatness of God. What do we mean when we say awe? Not like all shucks or all man, but awe. Any of y'all ever say the word awesome? I don't usually have this many children in the crowd, so I'm going to speak to them from time to time. And I might catch a few of y'all I lose on other weeks doing that, right? Just kidding. Any of y'all ever say the word awesome? What do we mean when we say that? Well, awe is this sense of wonder. It's this sense of impact that we feel when we see something that's amazing or indeed awesome. We must see then the awe-inducing. This greatness of God leads us to awe. How is it then that we see awe among these shepherds? Well, the first thing we must do if we're going to see the awe-inducing greatness of God is we must embrace the fear of the Lord. We must embrace the fear of the Lord. You see how the glory of God shines around them, the Bible says. They begin to experience the glory of God in a physical way. They begin to see it in a physical way. And what happens? They're filled with great fear. Isaiah chapter 6 says, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And what do those angels go on to say in Isaiah chapter 6? "The earth is filled with His glory." When I teach theology classes here at the church, I often am trying to come up with a definition of the glory of God, and I always say it's the outward manifestation of the inward reality of who God is. In other words, it's the godness of God made public. But we see here in the way these angels praise God in Isaiah chapter 6 that intrinsic to who God is His holiness. And so a large part of what we see being demonstrated in the glory of God is a sense of His holiness. That is His perfection and purity. That's different than us, isn't it? That's different than us. Many of us can't wait in the fast food line without getting frustrated and sinning. Sure can't go to Walmart this time of year without getting a sin or two in for that day. Much less going to the mall or somewhere like that. No, we don't have that same sort of holiness that God has, right? And so these shepherds have the glory of God shining about them, and they begin to have an acute understanding of the holiness of God, and therefore they start to experience fear. And rightfully, they are experiencing fear. They are experiencing what it means to have a holy fear of God. I think so often, brothers and sisters, we go so quickly to the gospel. I'm a big fan of going as quickly as we can to the gospel, but I think so often we go so quickly to the gospel, and the way that the gospel sets us at peace with God, we forget why we need peace with God in the first place. We forget the holiness of God. We skip past fear straight to peace. But ask the question today, do we have a healthy fear of God? If we are to have awe of the greatness of God, we must have a healthy fear of God. And to have a healthy fear of God, we must have an accurate understanding of our own place in God's economy. Brothers and sisters, we do not deserve anything from the Lord God Almighty. We do not deserve anything from Him. And so we must understand our place and then have a healthy fear of God. And yet, to also understand the greatness of God, we must move from having a fear of God to actually embracing the peace of the gospel. I love what the angel says to the shepherds in verse 10. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Why? Where does this good news come from? He says it, verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Shepherds were not known as the most trustworthy and most praiseworthy members of society during this time. In fact, one critique that you would see sometimes of the Old Testament was that David was a shepherd. They just couldn't quite understand why a shepherd would be chosen for this sort of role. And yet here these gentlemen are hearing, "For unto you is born a Savior." Not unto the higher classes, not unto the upper crust, not unto those who seem to not quite need it is born a Savior today. No, to you, unto you is born a Savior. Fear not, for behold. Not because none of those realities that you experience when you have fear of God, not because they aren't true, but because the good news is that Jesus Christ is bringing us God's grace. Only through Jesus and only through the gospel do we experience God's grace. God will dwell among people. We must be the sort of people who see the awe-inducing greatness of God. Second of all, we must see the epic scope of the incarnation. We must see the epic scope of the incarnation. When I say incarnation, what I mean is the second person of the Trinity, Jesus becoming man, becoming flesh. Consider then all these things that the angel says to these shepherds. Verses 11 through 14 begin to show us some of the things that were said to them. He says to them, "For unto you is born this day," where? "In the city of David." That's Bethlehem. Micah chapter 5 teaches us that the Messiah was to be born in the city of David. If we're to get a grasp of the epic scope of the incarnation, the amazing grandeur, just the vistas of glory that surround Jesus Christ becoming flesh, the the incarnation of God, then we must see the way that it fulfills the promises of God. Beginning here with the fact that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. But he goes on to say, in the city of David, born unto you is a Savior. One who will save His people from His sins. His very name, Jesus, means God saves. Yahweh saves. He's called the Christ. All throughout the Old Testament, we see pictures of an anointed one. An anointed one who would deliver the people of God. And there were prophecies throughout the Old Testament of one who would permanently carry that anointing. One who would come from the line of David and who would permanently be anointed by the Holy Spirit to always rule and guide the very people of God. And here this angel is applying that term, simply translated from Hebrew to Greek. Messiah and Christ are the same words, one in Hebrew, Messiah, and one in Greek, Christ. And they're translations of the word anointed one, one that's set apart for the cause of God. But then the angels say something even more stunning, something amazing. A Savior is not something that would have been a crazy thought to anyone in this time period. That he would have been born in the city of David, obviously, is something even the scribes and Pharisees were able to tell Herod. That he would be a Messiah, an anointed one, is something, a title that many had held before. But listen to what the angels say. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Christ the Lord. Here the angels are already beginning to ascribe divinity to this child. And that's where the story begins to change. That's where we begin to recognize that God Himself has entered the story. We then begin to understand not only do we see the amazing fulfillment of the promises of God, but the stunning sight of God made flesh. You will see Christ, the Messiah, the Lord, and this will be a sign for you. What might these shepherds have thought the sign might be? Perhaps an army standing ready for battle. Perhaps great pomp and circumstance. No, this is the sign. A baby. You will find, verse 12, a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Not in a palace, not in the place where princes would normally have been born, but in a manger. And then suddenly, there, as they're told this sign will be a baby in normal clothing and humble surrounding, suddenly we see the veil of heaven be lifted and thousands upon thousands of angels gather in the night sky. And I try to make this point every Christmas that oftentimes when we think about angels, we think about chubby little babies flying around with harps. Or we think about much less muscular versions of Fabio floating in the sky, like a hairspray commercial. They're glowing. This is a military band that's gathered together. This is a group of warriors. Any description we see of angels, people meeting angels anywhere in the Bible, folks get scared. They're not just scared because it's a spiritual being. They're scared because you must recognize that angels are warriors according to the Scriptures. Now, some have different roles. Some are messengers, but some angels are even called burning ones or flaming ones. These are unbelievably powerful creatures who are gathered in the night sky. And when you come to consider the fear of God that each person ought to have, and here we have a group of emissaries from heaven, from the one whose wrath we know burns against sin, one might expect them to be there to do the Lord's bidding. We see at different places in the Bible where angels are sent to carry out the very wrath of God. And yet here we have a military band gathered in great grandeur in the night sky looking upon these shepherds, and they are singing about peace. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased. They are picturing this future gospel which Jesus Christ will usher in, which will reconcile both sinner and God to one another. As we have rebelled against God, we are then being brought into the fold. It's a multitude. And this veiled glory is then mildly revealed to start to give these shepherds an idea of the grandeur of what's happening in a manger in Bethlehem on this night. And it leads us to our last point, which is this. We must see the urgent reality of who Jesus is. We must see the urgent reality of who Jesus is. These shepherds, that was a subtle message, right? But these shepherds got the message. They got the point of what was being said. And so the angels went away from them into heaven, and then the shepherds looked at each other and said, well, that was cool, and moved on with their night, right? No, that's not what the shepherds did, according to verse 15. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. These shepherds are recognizing, after they have seen something, that if you and I saw it, we would never be able to look at the world the same again. What an amazing view of the glories of heaven these shepherds had. And so many folks, I think, would have been satisfied just to see, well, I guess there is a God. Let's move on with our day. I see that there is angels, and they're great and glorious. That's about all I need. Let's move on. Now, these men saw the glory of God revealed in the heavens. They saw thousands upon thousands of angels singing, and yet they still felt like they needed to make a visit down to see a baby. Because for all the glory they'd seen already, they still hadn't seen the most glorious thing of all, this child who had been born. All that they had seen was not enough. They wanted to see Jesus. And so they go. And when they went there with haste, they find Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in their heart. That verse clues us in, perhaps, to who Luke's source was for these stories. Seems to get the idea that perhaps Luke says that he consulted multiple sources in putting together his gospel. And so perhaps it was that Luke actually talked to Mary herself about what this night looked like. Verse 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. These shepherds saw something greater when they arrived at the manger than that which was revealed to them in the sky. After seeing Jesus, then, they wanted to see more. They wanted to see Jesus. I ask you this question today. Have you tasted of the glory of God, but not actually seen Jesus Himself? Have you seen Jesus, but have you not drawn near? Is there still something left to complete that journey in your life? Do you still need to know Christ today? After seeing Jesus, they shared what God had shared with them. They returned glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. And they went to Joseph and Mary and told them about it. I ask you this question today. Are you like the shepherds, compelled to share the good news? And as they returned, they worshiped. After you've seen and heard, is your life impacted as you go? Have you been changed by what you've seen and heard? Brothers and sisters, the message of Christmas is the message of the most wonderful news you will ever hear in your life, that God chose to dwell among us, that the one who wrote the story entered the story, that the one who created the world stepped into the world, that the one who is far greater than man became man, that the one who is eternally spirit became flesh, and he did so in order that we might be delivered from our sins and into the glorious grace of the gospel of Christ. Today, brothers and sisters, I ask you, are you ready to embrace this Christ? Are you ready to see what these shepherds saw? I want to offer an invitation today. And it's as simple as this. If you don't know Jesus today, if you would turn from your sins in repentance and turn to Him in faith, He stands with arms open wide, ready to receive you. And second of all, you may be a believer who has grown numb to the weight of the glory of the Christmas message. This altar is open for you to pray and ask God to revive your heart again. And finally, you may be looking for a church home. I'd love to invite you to join us here at First Baptist Church Gadsden. Perhaps you'd like to know more. Today, I'd love to talk to you about what it means to be a member here at First Baptist Church. After this prayer, I want to invite you to come. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, we thank you for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that even now you would move in the hearts and minds of those around us. God, that you would save sinners today. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.